Welcome to the Be Moved and Bloom podcast. If you're ready to dive deep, find incredible inspiration, and let yourself bloom into who you're truly meant to be, you're in the right place. Here you'll find transformational stories, spiritual tools, and practical wisdom to help you be your best self. Get ready to be moved and bloom. Welcome back, my beautiful loves, to the Be Moved and Bloom podcast. I'm Louise Holcomb, your host, and today I have a super exciting episode to share with you. I know I say it every episode, but this one is really special. Today I am joined by Pavi Deva, and the wisdom that she shares, knowledge she drops in this episode is seriously something you might want to take notes on. She shares so much practical wisdom. Pavi is a technical product manager at Amazon and a mindfulness educator. She is the founder of the mindfulness movement called Growmance. Pavi is passionate about empowering people to live a mindful life, and she self-published a workbook that will serve as a guide for discovering one's soul purpose. She runs mindfulness programs and teaches about habits and mindset shifts to lead to a more fulfilling and joyful life. And she shares so much of that in this episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. So without further ado, I introduce to you Pavi Deva.
Deadlines and one project after the other, and I worked really long hours, 12 to 14 hour days, and eventually hit burnout, and because of that had a lot of health problems. So that's when I really turned into mindfulness. So my journey first, my well-being or healing journey started with more of working on my food habits and my diet and lifestyle, but then soon it took me on this journey of mental health as well. And that's when I started learning a lot about meditation, yoga, and other holistic wellness practices. And I really started to take my health and well-being more seriously and built my own rituals and toolkits and actionable steps to really work on myself mentally, emotionally, and physically. And that journey helped me to discover my gifts and talents, and I wanted to use that as a way to serve and help others. So when I looked around, there were a lot of people working in tech who weren't really living a fulfilling life and using their gifts and living to the fullest potential. So I really wanted to start empowering other people to also discover their life's purpose and live in alignment with who they are truly. So that's why I decided to launch Growmance, which is actually a mindfulness movement. And it means falling in love with your growth or falling in love with your ever-evolving self. Because in my journey, the biggest realization I had was we are very caught up to complete one goal after the other. You know, when we reach a goal, we then start planning on the next goal, the next milestone, and so on and so forth. And many times we forget to enjoy the journey or the process itself. So, but that's actually really the essence of life, is to really enjoy every step of the journey and let go and surrender to the flow of life itself. So that's why I named my company or business as Growmance, and I started creating programs, and recently I also launched a workbook called Discover Your Soul's Purpose, so that people can really use it as a guide and a self-reflection journal to discover their deeper purpose. So I've been experimenting with a lot of memberships and programs and physical products to help reach different people working in the tech and business industry.
Incredible. Yeah, that's so important. I feel like burnout is so prevalent in, God, I mean, probably every industry, but it seems like the turnaround or the rate with it in tech is phenomenal. So that's amazing
to have experienced it yourself and done something to give back and create that change. I love it. I feel like also now more than ever, like with everything that happened with COVID or is happening, I think the focus on our purpose, finding our purpose, feels a lot more urgent. Do you feel that? I mean,
Yep, totally. I think a lot of people during the pandemic, you know, since they got a chance to spend more time with themselves, they really, you know, needed that break or that pause and was able to, like, really, like you said, you know, discover what they truly want to do with their life. And I was also reading this research article which said about 95% of the people decided to quit their jobs, and it wasn't because of burnout or travel or anything else. It was mainly because they didn't feel, you know, in alignment with who they were, like the job that they're doing wasn't in alignment with them. So I think definitely this pandemic has opened doors for more self-discovery experience.
Definitely. Yeah. And I would love to hear more about your, you know, you said you have a workbook recently about your soul's purpose and discovering that. I would love to dive into that.
Yeah, sure. So I think the real purpose of why we are here is actually to figure out and identify or discover what are our unique gifts and talents and really share that with others and be of service to others. Because I think when we blend that talent with service to others, it really gives us a lot of fulfillment and joy. And that is what I believe that, you know, is the ultimate goal of all the goals. And from the time we were born, and basically from where we are from and where we are brought up, it depends on that. But, you know, our culture and society has told us different things. Like for me, since I was born and brought up in India, like engineering and law, and like there were very certain options which were more popular, and most of us are kind of influenced by the society to pick one of them and get a good job and settle down and then, you know, get married and have kids. And pretty much our lives are already designed by other people, and we don't really find that time or that opportunity to go within and figure out, you know, what is our purpose? What do we want to do with our life? And the idea was really, of having a workbook, was to give busy people an opportunity to reflect through journaling, because I believe that's a very powerful tool. Constantly we are reacting to different things happening in our life, and journaling really gives, like, it helps us to reflect and pause and take a step back and really be with ourselves. So that was the main reason to make it more like, you know, a journaling experience, so people can really use it as a guide to dive within and discover what they truly want to do in this world.
Amazing. Yeah, I absolutely love journaling. It's a very powerful practice. Was there one thing in particular along your journey, that, like, one practice or one particular, you know, tool that you found to be most helpful? Would that be journaling, or would there be, I mean, there's so many.
Yep. I started with journaling because it was more easy for me to write down my thoughts. Constantly, you know, I keep thinking about a lot of different things and feel like my head is so heavy. So my first practice that I started was this practice called morning pages, where you just wake up and, you know, do this brain dump, like anything that comes to your mind, you can put that down in your journal. Also in a very creative way, if you want, like doodling or other ways as well. And that really helped me to organize my mind and organize my life. And then I dived into other practices like gratitude journaling and journaling for specific instances like compassion and acceptance and other things. And I dove more deeper into journaling. But meditation was also one of the practices that was very, very impactful. Like, although initially I felt difficult to sit down and meditate. Eventually, it opened doors to more deeper reflection and calmness and stillness. So now I practice it for about 40 minutes twice a day. But when I begun the journey, like I used to do it probably for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, because I was very impatient to sit down with myself and practice. But those two are my favorite self-discovery tools or mindfulness tools.
Amazing. That's very impressive. When I first started meditating as well, my therapist taught me, just try 20 seconds. that's all you need to like aim for. It was all mm-hmm. I could handle at the time. So yes. Right.
Yeah, even 20 seconds is hard for sure.
I
think what really helped me was to let go of the expectations, because we sometimes think we have to feel relaxed or we have to feel a certain way. When I let go of those expectations and just sat down and allowed myself to experience the thoughts that I got in my mind, it was much more peaceful. And then I was able to slowly increase my time and get more deeper into the practice.
Yes, definitely. Incremental is better.
Right.
And you still work in, you're in tech still, in the field of tech. And how has your journey, you know, shifted the way that you interact and create in the world, you know, with burnout, and then moving through that, becoming the leader in the field of mindfulness as well?
Right. Yeah. So I still work in tech. Yeah. I work at Amazon. And I think when I was in this mindfulness journey, I realized a lot of things that I wasn't doing properly in my job, which was like, there are a few things. The first thing is probably not knowing how to prioritize, how to say no, how to mindfully communicate what you want to do. So that really transformed in the workplace for me, because now I set boundaries pretty well and I know what to say yes to and no to. And also there is not a lot of pressure for me to keep climbing the corporate ladder, because earlier on I would take up a lot of projects, more than what I can do, because I wanted to get promoted and climb that corporate ladder so badly. But even when I've gotten those promotions, I did not feel very fulfilled or happy. Like there would be this joy for maybe like a day or two, and then it would die off, and then you start working on your next goal. So it was just going like that. And now I've become more mindful that that goal itself is not the ultimate goal, but just enjoying everything that you do in your work and helping other people, collaborating with other people in work. Like I take more joy in these things than just getting promoted. So that has really helped me show up better at work, a confident person, and a more happy person, I would say. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And the world needs more of that, definitely, in the workplace.
Yep. We need more empathetic leaders for sure.
Yes, 100%. What would you say, to someone who might be brand new to the field of like mindfulness or holistic wellness in general, what are some ways that you got started or that you would do differently and suggest, maybe guide someone to how they could get started with discovering that true self and changing things?
So I would definitely suggest to start small, because a lot of times we get very overwhelmed with all the things that we want to change with our lives, and then end up giving up too quickly. So I would say like focus one thing at a time and take baby steps and actionable steps. The other thing is we think that we have to be very consistent with our actions and then feel guilty if we are not able to stick with our goals and again, give up too quickly. So I would say, like, to rethink about consistency. So instead of thinking that you have to do something every day, have a very clear vision on what you want to do and why you want to do it, and then use that as a motivation to come back even though you miss your routines or habits a couple of days. Because having that vision and that why is really, really important. If you're just going to tell yourself, I want to meditate every day, then there is very less motivation to do it every day because you don't have a strong why on why you want to do it. And even in my weight loss journey, I have been trying to lose weight from probably 2017, and I was never able to do it. Like, I would lose weight and again gain back weight. I would lose weight, gain back weight. That was kind of the cycle I was going through. But 2019, I had a very strong reason that I wanted to do it because I wanted to heal my body and be more energetic and productive. And that gave me more motivation to stick with my journey and heal myself. So I would always say, have that vision very clearly and start with the purpose and then do it slowly and steadily instead of rushing through it and expecting instant results.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I feel like we do put so much pressure on ourselves. I know I'm guilty of it. Probably most people. Okay. Like, if you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. But yeah, definitely having a bigger vision, super important. Something you mentioned about managing energy efficiently, you know, in the work and I'm sure just in life. I would love if you could speak to that more, because I feel like there's all this pressure to be productive, but not necessarily really looking at ourselves and how we're actually using our energy. Yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Totally. That's a great question. I mean, I also felt very guilty every time I don't have a productive day. And I was very harsh on myself that, oh my God, I had this 10 things to do and I did not do them. And I would be so harsh on myself. So I started working on that, and what I really figured is it's very important to manage your energy and not your time, because time is fixed for everyone. Yes, we all have heard make the best out of your time, and many of us have learned different time management techniques, and I also Google it all the time, and I've tried pretty much all the time management hacks that shows up in Google, but none of them had really worked well for me in the long term. So I have realized that managing your energy is more important than managing your time. And what that means is doing more things that energizes you, that helps your mind and body feel energized. So you can be less busy, but more productive. And some of the ways to do that is, one of my favorite exercise is to do a review of all the things that I do from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed, and see what are the things that drains my energy and what are the things that I do which energizes me and fills my cup. So I would want to do more of those activities and less of the activities that drains my energy. For example, if I'm scrolling through my phone or through Instagram for about 2-3 hours, that is a very energy draining activity. And same way, if I'm binge watching something for a long time, then that is like very energy draining as well. But if you meditate or probably go on a mindful walk, it energizes you. The moment you come back from a walk, you feel energized. I'm sure about that. So when you kind of review, you know, of what are all the things that you do in your day and how does what makes you feel energized and what drains your energy, and kind of realign the activities that you do to make yourself feel more energized, then now you have more energy to actually get things done and hence be more productive. But you can also get it done in a very less time. So it's all about doing more in less time. And I also like to really align the activities with the different, like with how I feel in my day. So for example, in the morning, I feel like more, I feel that I have more creative energy. So I like to do more of the big tasks in the morning. And then in the evenings, I like to more so do like organization and routine tasks more like, you know, after lunch, probably around like 3 to 5 or something like that. So kind of seeing how your energy is at different times of the day and then aligning your activities based on that energy will really help you to be more effective and efficient is what I feel.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah. And everyone's so different, right? Like some people have so much energy in the evenings and stay up and work, and some people feel that in the morning. And yeah, it's really good to hear.
Yeah. And also like another thing is really tuning into your body, because your body will keep giving you some cues. Like, you know, if you need more sleep or if you need more rest, your body will tell that to you. But most of the times I realized that I used to ignore it. Like even though I felt sleepy or tired or anxious, I would still try to get through my list of things to do and force myself to do it, even though I'm not in that zone. And I felt that that is actually the least efficient way to get things done. I would rather not do it at that time and do it in another time when I'm in that flow state or in that zone. Because at that time, you know, I'm naturally having this creative energy. I'm naturally feeling energetic that I can get more done in less time. So really tuning into your body is a very important aspect of managing your energy.
For sure. Yes. Our bodies tell us everything if we're open to hearing it, which I know in my own journey, it was, I was very cut off from the language of my body for a long time until I discovered yoga and went on that whole journey.
Yoga is really a great way of tuning into your body. Like when I wake up, I just know where I experience stiffness in you know the different body parts, and I try to focus specifically on yoga for those areas. So sometimes it's opening up my heart, sometimes it's working on my back, and sometimes it's more, you know, in the lower body. So yoga is actually, like you said, is a great way of tuning into your body and understanding more about your body.
Definitely. 100%. I want to circle back a little bit to that subject of finding your true purpose again, because and finding your why to motivate you as well. Because I know for me, discovering, you know, the journey of self-discovery and healing through these holistic practices led me to a connection with something higher. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that, whether that was part of your journey or if that's something that you encourage your students and mentees to connect to as well, to find more purpose in life.
Yep. So I actually created a framework for how can you discover your purpose, because it's such a deep and a broad topic that sometimes you feel it's too big and overwhelming and people maybe don't know where to get started. So I would say like the first, so basically in the framework, there are three aspects or three areas, and your purpose is the intersection of these three areas. So the first one is excitement, and second is skills, and then third is your mission. So excitement, like what are you really excited about? What are you really curious about? What, you know, makes you feel like, you know, what are you really passionate about is really like what drives your excitement and your curiosity. So that's really a great place to start, because there are people who like different things. For example, I like, you know, walking, hiking, dancing, reading. Like I love a lot of things, but I'm not curious about everything. I'm curious more about, you know, how the mind and body works, about like how can I handle my emotions. So it's more around mindset and wellness, right? But for some others, it could be different areas that they are really passionate about. So if you go and probably see your Google search results or what you typically search on social media, you'll get an idea of what are you really curious to find answers for. And that's really a great place to start and then build your skills and expertise in that area, which is the second part, right? Because in order to become good at it and help others. Sorry, in order to help others, you need to become good at it. So that really helps you to build your expertise and skills in that specific area. And I also believe that there are some natural gifts that you have, which you might not have nurtured. So for some people, it's speaking, for some it's writing, for some it's like creating poetry. You know, there are different things that naturally comes to us. For some it's like crunching numbers. I know a guy like who is amazing in finance and budgeting and investing. You know, he's so good at it and I don't get any of it. So each one have our own, you know, things that we are naturally good at. So it's that is also something that you need to really dive and explore. And then the third area is your mission. So what is like your life's mission statement? You know, what is that one problem that you're very drawn towards that you would like to solve? Some people are very passionate about veganism and animal cruelty, while others are passionate about mental health and, you know, various different things, right? So really understanding what problem you really want to solve is also a great start to discover your soul's purpose. So you can be anywhere in this area. You know, you might be like, I have these certain kind of skills, but I don't know what problem to solve. Or you can be like, I know the problem I want to solve, but I'm not sure of my skills. So when you try to answer these different parts of the puzzle and journal and do some experiments or small projects to go within, or use mindfulness practices to go within, then I think, you know, you will be able to really discover your soul's purpose. But also I want to say it's not like once you found it, it's done. Like mm-hmm. It keeps evolving, but it will be around the same area usually. It wouldn't be something significantly different for many people. Some people start, you know, as maybe a nutrition coach, and then they become a mindset coach, and then they become, you know, a purpose coach. But it's all around, you know, this one aspect of health and wellness. So it might not be very different, but it's definitely a evolving journey for sure.
Amazing. That framework sounds so simple, clear, and so helpful for really mapping out, discovering your purpose.
Yeah, I really like to keep things actionable. That's kind of my mission. Because when I started this journey, you know, I took up some courses, programs, and looked at different YouTube videos, read books. And I was like, okay, I do understand everything conceptually, but how do I action on this? So that's when, like, my engineering brain, I guess, helped me to create a lot of actionable steps and frameworks and toolkits. So the way I actually break down these things and make it actionable is what I believe is my unique gift and talent, because people who join my program and, you know, work with me really like that they can action on it and build a lifestyle and habit around it. And that is something I did not have in my journey. So it's something I'm very passionate about, which is making mindfulness actionable and simple to understand and work on.
Amazing. And we need everyone on board because everyone needs this. So making it as accessible as possible is very key. We mentioned a few practices, obviously, already, journaling and yoga. What would you say, or if you have a particular ritual that you love at the moment, or any of your favorite of those practices, mindfulness habits, morning ritual or evening ritual, I would love to hear, you know, what you're practicing at the moment.
Yep. I'm huge on rituals. So I don't have a set routine that I do every single day. And that's something I like, because I want to be kind of spontaneous and I want to decide on the go. So the way I design my rituals, it's like a bunch of options that I can choose from. So usually my morning ritual has yoga, meditation, and walking. So I pick and choose based on, you know, what I want to do that day. So it's not every day, it's not the same kind of things. So some days it's more of breath work and a little bit of yoga. Some days it's walking and yoga. So I kind of, that's how I work. So I have these bunch of things that I do in the morning and kind of, you know, switch it based on what I want to do. And then in the evenings, it's actually more of workout and reflection journaling. So evening, I, you know, do gratitude journaling. I reflect on my day and figure out, like, you know, what are the small wins that I had? What are some things I need to work on the next day? So it's more of planning and reflection in the evenings. And then I also work out in the evenings, which is more intense, like, you know, lifting or dancing or something like that. So that's more of the evening ritual that I have. And then throughout the day, I like to take small breaks in order to manage my energy better. So I drink celery juice. I'm huge on, like, you know, green juice and also Ashgard juice. This is actually a very Indian thing, that Ashgard is actually a vegetable that really energizes you as much as celery or even more than that. So
wow.
I do, yeah, switch between Ashgard and celery juices, and then try to take breaks where I can do maybe deep breathing exercise or stretch my body, or sometimes I even do yoga middays, like for 10 minutes, you know, and those are kind of the midday rituals.
Amazing. And I love how you make it accessible for yourself in that there's no pressure to, like you said, to do one thing every single day, or, you know, have the choice, I think is so valuable. And that's something maybe people don't even realize is available, like to have that choice of, oh, I could do this or this, depending on how I'm feeling that day, you know?
Right, right. And also it'll help you to not be on autopilot, you know, doing the same thing every day. So you get really sometimes bored of it, and you are not doing it. You might end up not doing it consciously or mindfully. So I rather like to have the different options and a rough idea of the things I like to do in the morning, evening, afternoon, and then, like, you know, decide on the go.
Yes. And not feel any guilt if you'd miss it, or, you know.
Yeah, that's like very important. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Like, there's definitely no guilt if you miss it. But I just make sure I don't miss it for a long time, because then that would become a habit. So if it's 2-3 days, you know, I don't take any pressure or guilt from that. And practicing that compassion to yourself is very important. But I would also suggest not to miss your rituals for a long time that you feel disconnected from yourself. Because that has happened to me in the past when I travel for a long time. Sometimes, you know, it's really hard to manage doing certain rituals in travel. And then when I come back home, it takes some time for me to again get in contact with my soul. I feel like, oh my God, I feel so disconnected. Who am I right now?
Yes, I know that can definitely happen. Yeah, actually, speaking of, because, well, I'm traveling soon and we're coming up to the holidays where maybe, you know, maybe more people are traveling, things are opening up more in the world. Is there, you know, any advice you would give for while anyone's traveling, or even just going through, you know, an unexpected time, something that, you know, throws them off of their usual routines? Yeah, any wisdom on that?
I'm also traveling to India soon, and I was wondering, like, how am I going to manage everything when I go there? I think it's very important, first of all, to be kind to yourself and flexible, because the environment you are in, you want to really blend in and adapt to that environment, because that allows you to really experience, you know, the joy that environment has to offer, and also be in peace with yourself. Because when I go to India, it's completely a different environment, and it's going to be hard to maybe 100% be myself. But I don't like to resist a lot of things and create chaos where I am. So I really like to blend into the environment and adapt to the situation, the food, the culture there as well. But I do kind of plan ahead, as in I know, right, like what are the things that are going to happen. So I plan around it. I was thinking I will wake up much more earlier and, you know, do my practices, or in the nights, you know, I can, you know, go to the gym or something like that. So I usually try to have some workarounds or coping mechanisms to do that. And I think, yeah, like planning ahead and thinking what are some of the workarounds you can do while traveling would be helpful. And for me, food is also something I'm like conscious about. So I make sure that I don't take a lot of sweets, but I try to have more rice and curries because that's something, you know, that's more popular in India, but it's not as bad as taking so much of sweets and gluten foods. So even though it's not the best option, like I know it's hard to eat salads there, but, you know, actually working around whatever is the best available option. Yeah. And having those intentions in your mind ahead of time helps you to enjoy the travel.
Definitely. And then one question that I love to ask everyone who comes on the podcast is, what's your favorite way to move your energy, or what moves you lately, or maybe your all-time favorite? You can choose.
It's spending time with nature. I really love being out in the nature and looking at all the different colors, the birds, animals, like the ducks, like whatever that is. I just like to spend time with nature, observe nature, and yeah, that really moves me and makes me feel very energetic, grounded, and grateful for all the things that I have. Because nature is so abundant. When I look at the abundance in nature, in turn, it makes me to believe that, you know, I am part of nature and I am abundant too.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what I would answer with. because yeah, nature's my biggest teacher, healer, just everything. And then lastly, where can everyone find you and connect with you and get to know you more? I'm going to link everything in the show notes as well.
Yep, I'm super active on Instagram. I post a lot of content around my mindfulness and a lot of resources there. So you can follow me at Gromance with Pavi. Recently, I opened a LinkedIn account as well in the same name, where I post, again, resources on mindfulness. So those are two areas where you can reach me. And on my site, you can find my offerings and the journal as well. I'm having a Black Friday sale. So if you're interested, you can look that up.
Amazing. And yeah, everything will be linked. So just head to the show notes to find more. So Pavi, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and learning so much wisdom from you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having. It was great discussing about soul's purpose and mindfulness rituals. Thank you.
Yes, of course. We'll speak soon. Everything. And then lastly, where can everyone find you and connect with you and get to know you more? I'm going to link everything in the show notes as well.
Yep, I'm super active on Instagram. I post a lot of content around my mindfulness and a lot of resources there. So you can follow me at Gromance with Pavi. Recently, I opened a LinkedIn account as well in the same name, where I post, again, resources on mindfulness. So those are two areas where you can reach me. And on my site, you can find my offerings and the journal as well. I'm having a Black Friday sale. So if you're interested, you can look that up.
Amazing. And yeah, everything will be linked. So just head to the show notes to find more. So Pavi, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and learning so much wisdom from you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having. It was great discussing about soul's purpose and mindfulness rituals. Thank you.
Yes, of course. We'll speak soon. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you heard this. To stay connected with me, head to bemovedyoga.com. and sign up for my email list. I'm also Be Moved Yoga on Instagram. Catch up with you soon. Lots of love from Louise.